Second Samuel. I feel like Sarah's already taking a nap. How many of you are a little sleepy here? It's a weird day. If we cut the air on, we're going to freeze some of you because it's moist. The moisture's in the air. Nod your head if you're with me. If I don't cut on the air, some of you are already going, this is going to be a good sermon. So help us out, okay? So just police your air. If someone around you is sleeping and all, throw something at them, okay? Because one, that'll kind of keep everybody on their toes. And two, if you actually do it, it'll bust the service up. We may have a revival here, right? If you don't pay attention to God, you get whacked in the head with a hymn book. And how many of you would like to see one hymn book thrown at least once before you pass away? Anybody, a few of you like that? Ashley's got her hand up for everything this morning. I like that. Thank you, Ashley. 2 Samuel chapter 10. Let the preacher find it too. 2 Samuel chapter 10. We're going to start in verse number 11. 2 Samuel 10, verse number 11. Stand with me if you would. We're going to pay honor to God and His Word. Just going to read a few verses here. 2 Samuel chapter 10. The Bible says, "And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, and you'll help me, but if the children of Ammon or the Ammonites are too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee." They're basically saying, I've got your back if you need me. You've got my back if I need you. We're going to do this. It's going to be hard. It's going to be awful. It's uncertain. But I want you to know I'll be there for you. And I want you to know, and I want to know that you'll be there for me. And these two men, these two warriors, these two sets of armies, battalions if you please, make this covenant, verse 12, "Be of good courage, and let us play the men." Some of your Bibles say, let us act like men. Let's do what we're supposed to do for our people. If you underline and highlight in your Bible there, you can just draw a circle there. Men affect the rest of the family. Men affect the rest of the family by their presence or absence. And this is not only politically correct, but I'm not at all denigrating the role of women. I'm not, if you catch that at the end of the service today, you've missed everything I've said. I'm not talking about you or the absence of you. I'm simply talking to men in particular, and it's going to be for all of us here. I'm not trying to lift them up. I'm simply saying this is what God's saying to them. "For the cities of our God and the Lord do that which seems him good." We're going to trust God. We're going to be what we're supposed to be. It's going to affect our people. It's going to affect our cities. Verse 13, "Joab drew nigh and the people that were with him into the battle against the Syrians. And they fled before him." Joab comes up, this man of war, and the Syrians go, "We don't want any part of that." So they take off. The children of Ammon, when they saw that the Syrians were running around, they fled also before Abishai and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. Joab comes up and helps his buddy Abishai, and they vanquish them, and they're all done with warfare. And in these little verses, these four verses, I think we have a tremendous story about men and courage. And I want to kick off our new family series, Fixer Upper. I want to help us today. I just, rather than building up to it, I'm just going to start where we need to. I'm going to talk about the courage that we need. Courage that we need. Would you bow your head and pray with me, please? Father, it's a weird morning. A lot of folks not here because of the weather. Lord, several folks traveling. Our big crowd last weekend, Lord, it looks empty, but I believe that everyone's here by divine appointment. I believe there are many who will be watching the service in days to come and even this afternoon. And I pray that you'd give your word wings. It would speak to hearts. I pray for every man, woman. I pray for every teenager here. I pray that you would help them, Father. I pray, Lord Jesus, as we have such unfaithfulness and such uncommittedness in 2017, Lord, at work and in our homes and our lives, and I pray that you would help us. Lord, people who promise, Lord, so many things to you, and Lord, they don't keep their promises. And Father, it's unbelievable. And Father, I know if it hurts our heart, it hurts yours. So I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd help us to see and hear the challenge of this morning. Lord, I love you and I need you. I pray all the technical jazz would work today. I pray, Father, that it wouldn't be a distraction. And I pray more than that, Spirit of God, you would just preach to our hearts. And that, Lord, while I'm preaching on the outside, Lord, you would preach on the inside and draw us to yourself. start our series off right. Call us to courage. I pray it in Jesus' precious name, and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. All right, I've got it, guys. Guys, I tell you what, y'all can go have a seat. I think I can run it pretty well there. I recently came across this story. Some of you may have read it online, and this was about the opportunity to get a chicken and a chicken coop in your own backyard in Knoxville. I mean, if you think having fresh eggs is a good idea. Good idea. Fresh eggs. This is 2017 here. The man states, I'm in the process of getting my permits. He says, you first take a 12-page form and a hand-drawn blueprint of your backyard with measurements to the city county building. Also, you pay them $50. Call ahead to make sure somebody's there. You'll have to wait a few days. Next, you take the paperwork with the building permit to animal control over on Fifth Avenue. Then you make copies there, and you pay them $25. You haven't had an egg yet, and you've already spent $75. Nod your head if you're with me so far. Next, you take the paperwork to a quarterly, for those of you who are not following real well, that's every 3 months, animal control board meeting. Now, I grew up in the country. There's a lot of things I don't think. I've never thought animal control and chickens in the same sentence, amen? You know, animal control for a wild something or other or a python that got loose or, you know, you got a rabid raccoon. Anyway, so you got to go to every three-month animal control meeting, and that next meeting is tomorrow. So you got to dot all those I's. You're $75 out. You're at three buildings. Once they approve the permit, they're supposed to mail me another set of paperwork. Then I have to call the city inspector and set up an inspection of the coop. Once inspected, I take the paperwork back to animal control and turn it in. Then I get the official, I love this, chicken permit. Of course, I can't actually get my chickens until next year because you have to either build or buy a coop that meets the specifications set by animal control, which you can only get to after the third meeting and after $75 and only every 3 months. And then you apply. Of course, if we build our own, we have to first get a building permit, which we can't get unless we go to animal control. Seems like a lot of money to provide bait and free meals for wolves. Amen. And I love that. Amen. So if you see preacher being grumpy, it's because he's trying to get a chicken coop in the backyard there. It is astounding that to raise one chicken and a bunch of wire and throw some food to it every now and then and grab some eggs requires all that. Let me help you. But you can be a dad or a mom or have a family and just about nobody say boo to you, right? I'll never forget Allison being born and nurse cleaned her up and handed her to me. And I was like, whoa, where's the book? Where's the instruction manual? They handed her to Andre, and Andre's loving on, and handed her back to me. I'm good. I wasn't really that bad. But anyway, they handed her back to me, and we're there, and they said, we're going to let you get some rest. I'm like, what are you doing? You leaving us alone? Oh, my soul. And then the next day, they're like, well, you can go home. Go home. Who's going home with us? And you'll be fine. You'll be fine. I'm like, be fine? Oh, my, you know, anybody remember those, anybody as a father or mother remember the terror? You're bringing home a child, you're going, blah, 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 blah. And you're just there. It's an amazing thing. Our world recognizes the restrictions and the requirements to have a chicken at your house, but it seems like we're not that interested in getting some information about how to live inside of a family and how to do what we're supposed to do there. How many of you think living well in a family beats having a chicken in the backyard or the front yard if you're from Eastern North Carolina? How many of you think it beats that? How many of you think it's a little more important there? I want to suggest to you that in this area we need courage. We absolutely, positively need courage. We need courage. I think we need courage for a lot of reasons. Bill Cosby said it, and Bill Cosby now, bless his heart, all this stuff's come out saying, bless his heart. He said all these things, and so if I don't give it, you're going to say, you know, that's a Bill Cosby thing. I'm not advocating Bill Cosby, but Bill Cosby said some truth in the midst of his depravity. He said, you know, there's a reason men are okay with somebody else being the boss. He said, because we've seen what the boss's job is, and we don't want to be the boss. We're happy for somebody else to be the boss, whether that's a school teacher, whether that's mom, whether that's a wife, whether that's an aunt or an uncle. We don't, because we don't want to be the boss. We'd rather act somewhere differently. And Bill Cosby, not a believer, I don't believe, but Bill Cosby swerved into it. A lot of men just don't want to be what they're supposed to be. Nod your head, men and women. Nod your head. We don't want to be what we want to be. Why? Because it takes absolute courage. It takes courage. Look at the story there. I want to help you this morning. I'm going to give you a couple of things, and then I'm going to pause and give us an opportunity to pray. Look at this. Look at what the Bible says there. It's two things going on. There's Joab and Abishai. They've got their armies divided. They've got two separate goals, but they say something so unbelievable to me. Look at verse 11. If the Syrians are too strong for you, you come help me. And if the Ammonites are too strong for you, then I will come and help thee. Everyone who reads that story goes, man, isn't it wonderful to have somebody to count on? They've told Allison they're going to give her a raise at her little job and all. She said, man, that's great. I said, baby, I said, I told you it'd be so easy to stand out in a public job. You show up on time, you do what you're told, you don't flake out, you don't call in with crazy things. I said, they're probably going to try and make you a manager, you know, if you're there another month. I said, just because you act like you got some sense. How many of you in public work think, man, I'd love to have some people with some sense, you know, and just come and work and all. Because it's so odd to stand out and have somebody you can count on and depend on. Here they said, I've got you, and I've got your back. Why do we need this? Why do we need this? Let me give you just a couple of things here. Number one, the physical absence of fathers is the most significant family and social problem in America. By the way, it's true this way in Latin America. It's true this way in Canada. If you talk about North America, you put the feet right there. The problem right there. The absence of fathers is staggering. Prisoners, drug users, dropouts, runaways, rapists all have something in common: the lack of a male, loving male figure in their lives. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. We pass all kind of legislation. What we need is courage. What we need is courage. The overwhelming majority come from homes without a father. I said it. I'm not going to keep qualifying everything, so let me say it again. There have been a whole lot of people raised by a lot of exemplary women who have done because, for whatever reason, they were widowed or somebody sorry and left, and God has given them all the grace that they needed, and they have done exceptional. I am not throwing any shade or any water on anybody. I have seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it growing up with my own eyes in my small town I grew up in. I believe God can enable you. I'm not talking specifically to you or saying that you could have that you didn't do a good job. I'm not at all. I am simply saying that when you look at society and you visit the jails and when you go to the bars at night and when you see the destruction that's going on, you can put it primarily at one place. And that's men didn't have the courage they needed to do what they were supposed to do. It works like this. If my heavenly Father loves and cares for me, then if my earthly Father does that, then my heavenly Father does that. So much of our prayer life, so much of our devotional life, so much of our serving life is depicted upon our relationship with our parents. You talk about good father. I've watched for 25 years shrivel because they didn't have a good father or a good stepfather, or he wasn't around. It's unbelievable. My mom's dad took off when she was small and in and out, and my mom tells stories of he hadn't been home for several days, and they'd have to go drag him out of a bar in the middle of the afternoon and take him home. And my grandmother back in the late 40s, couldn't put up with it and the abuse and all those things, and ended up having to leave him. and met this wonderful man who adopted my mom, and God gave her a second chance. Just amazing. I got to preach my grandfather, really my step-grandfather's funeral. And I said one of the things is that he took a chance in the late 40s on a divorcee who had a daughter in tow. By the way, they raised four more kids all over the world, bounced around the Air Force, and to a person well-loved and well-adjusted. I believe in secondary grace. But you ask my mom, she don't even want to talk about it. She talk about her step-grandfather who showed her the love of Jesus here. Why? Because we are just so impacted this way. So impacted. If my father would die for me, then God would die for me. We get all these kind of things. They learn our identity from us. When your kids are young, they want to know who they are and what's right and wrong and who God is. Say, my kids have all these questions. Well, they're asking the parents these questions. And they're supposed to ask parents these questions. They don't know how to live. But they go to their dads. They go to their men in their lives. They go to their moms. But they go. They want to know. They want to know. They want to know what's going on there. Who is God? Who am I? Am I loved? What's it mean to be successful? What do I have what it takes? I think it's the church's opportunity, by the way. Ever how people come to us, do our best to help them. Whatever family situation they find themselves in. Nod your head if you believe that. I believe it's a great opportunity. Even what Brother Evan's been doing with our young people, Brother Glaspie's been doing with our young people, and all those in the past, man, what a great opportunity to mentor and to model there. I want to offer you a few truths this morning. I want to give you a challenge at the end. I think these will be easy to follow, and I hope you will. If you're taking notes this morning, just write these down. You've got opera place on the back of the bullet. Number one, we need men. We need godly men. We need godly men. I had a dear friend. I haven't seen her in a while. She sends me a note every so often, a friend of Andre's, and she's a wonderful lady. She's easily 6'1". She's a full-time EMT. She's actually a crisis EMT. I reckon they all are. But where she works where there's a lot of activity, gang activity. She works where there's a lot of gunshots. Nod your head if you're with me here. Those of you from around North Carolina, she works in Durham. Over where Duke plays, and that's anyway. And it's bad, bad, bad. But anyway, she's there. She's a Carolina fan. She takes her life in her own hands just doing that. And anyway, she goes there. And she's if she hit me, I wouldn't cry, but I'd go somewhere and whimper. She's just commanding. She's just commanding. And I don't think she thinks she's going to get married. She may be dating now for all I know. But she told me a single lady joke. She said, preacher said, when I die, I want, when I was her pastor for a while, when I die, I want all female pallbearers. I said, okay, you plan on dying anytime soon? No, but if I die, all female pallbearers. I said, okay. Any particular reason? She said, if they wouldn't take me out when I'm living, I don't want them to take me out when I'm dead. Amen. Some of you get that in a minute. And we need godly men. Godly men, some of you, you know, I said something like this years and years ago. I used this expression. I had a lady say, well, amen, finally something I agree with. We need men. I need a man, amen. And we're here. We need godly men. Why do we need godly men? Let me give you a couple things here. We need godly men who love God. This passage illustrates these men are willing to die for each other, to die for their families, to die for their cities. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. What do we need? You know, most churches, man, full of women, full of older women. Nothing wrong with that. But their men are what? Men can't get out of bed. Men can't get out of a boat. Men can't get off a golf course. Men can't get out of their hobbies and all. Boy, we need men. You ask for volunteers. What do you have? You have ladies who will volunteer, and the men just sit on the sidelines and criticize. And we do these kind of things. Men, we need men. Men who love God. Some years back, Green Bay Packers became associated with a lifelong fan who asked to be buried in his favorite Packers jersey with a remote in his hand in his recliner. And after he passed, they embalmed him. They dug a double-sized vault, and they lowered him into the vault, as it were, waiting for the football game to come on. Cost a small fortune, created a stir. Some of you are already Googling it. It's a macabre picture to look at. He said, I wanted to die how I live, loving the Green Bay Packers. I hope we want to die how we live, loving God, loving God. We need godly men. We need men who will do what's right. We need men who will love God. We need men who will love the truth. Too often, just a few folks know and read the scripture. Man, we need folks who love the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone, the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. We need dads who will bring a Bible into the church. I know a lot of you carry your tablets and stuff. Now, we need dads. We need mom and dad. We need to see the kids see mom and dad reading their Bible. We need some young men who will say, you know what, everybody goops around. Everybody's a spazwad, and nobody has anything that they're really doing here, but I'm going to make sure my room's clean. I'm going to make sure that my chores are done. I'm going to make sure that I do my homework here because I love God. I want to be a man of honor and integrity. What we've done on Sunday nights, we've pointed men to the resolution that I will be more than average. I will not be asleep at the wheel. That I want to love God. Say, what's the problem with our family? Where are we going to start? We're going to start right here with all us men. Say, it's not real politically correct. We don't have time for political correctness. We got a whole lot of people in a whole lot of trouble because a whole lot of men running after the next young thing or abdicating their responsibilities and they're not doing what they're supposed to and they leave the mess for the women and it's just wrong. You may say amen to that, by the way. Amen. You love God. We want men, godly men, to love the truth. We want them to live holy. We want them to live holy. Do what's right. Do what's right. Growing up, they called it sailor talk. We call it profanity and all now. I think men ought to speak right, don't you? I don't think the kids and mom and the women ought to worry about the wandering eyes. I don't think of a man. I don't think you ought to panic if somebody checks out your Facebook or your browser history. Ought to do what's right. I'm amazed at the pandemic of pornography. It's beyond comprehension. By the way, if I preach something like this to 18 to 25-year-olds, they're looking at me like I'm crazy because they have no idea that what they're doing is wrong. They've never even considered that it's wrong. They just know they feel bad about it and don't know why. We need men to live holy. What do you mean to live holy? It takes courage to live holy. It takes courage to do what it is. Look at verse 12. Be of good courage. Let us be men for our people and the cities of our God and the Lord do that which seems Him good. We commend ourselves to Him. We need men. We need men. We need men who will do what's right, who will be faithful to Him. We need men. We need men to be men. We need men to be men. I'm not talking about being jerks, if that's what you're thinking. We need men to be leaders. We need men to be followers. I used to say, man, I'd really like a man cave. How many of you ever heard the expression man cave? I don't want a man cave anymore. I'm gone too much now. When I'm home, I won't be home. I don't want to come home and go, okay, everybody leave me alone. If I'm home, I'm going to be there. I want to be present. I'll be present. Allison heads off school more than likely in the fall. Riley's in eighth grade now. And if that goes as fast as the other, I want to be home. I'm going to go outside and I'm going to hide from everything and everybody. No. We need you to be men. We need you to be men. It's fascinating. One of my favorite Christmas stories is A Christmas Carol. How many of you ever read The Christmas Carol? You remember watching on TV or whatever? Some of you older, George C. Scott, you know, he was Scrooge and all those kind of things. It's been played and been adapted. There's a line in the play they've not taken out, even though I've seen it recently. There's a line in the play, and Bob Cratchit, his son is Tiny Tim. And Cratchit's coming home. He's just left. Scrooge has not given him his pay or not given him anything extra. He doesn't know how he's going to feed his family. And so all the kids are there. And so mom has been sewing. And she looks at the children. She says, all right, children, stand up to the girls. Fluff out your dresses. She asked the daughter, come over here and look. I don't want your father to see me with red eyes. Tiny Tim with his little crutch cane. He's got a picture ready for Papa. And about the time they think he's home, they all gather toward the door. They hear him fumble with the lock, and as he opens it, they all run to him and greet him. And it is one of the more modern things. It's an anachronism, if you like the expression, that's been left in the play. The dad wants to come home, and the family's glad to see him. Let me help you. We need some men to be men. We need some boys to walk with integrity. We need some single men to be men. We need them to lead by example. We need to lead by example. Don't send your kids to church, take them to church. Don't tell them they ought to read the Bible to them, read the Bible with them, make sure they read the Bible on their own, make sure they do these things. We need to lead by example. Don't expect other folks to do and other folks to give and all these kind of things. We live in a world that hands off all education. Boy, I couldn't do that again if I wanted to. Hands off all education. I mean, it broke all to pieces here. Let me put it back together. Hands off all education. Hands off all responsibility to a school system. We hand it off to after-school programs, all these kind of things here. Man, we need to be responsible for that. We need to do that. We need to, not all the education, we need to be responsible for our families. We need to be doing those kind of things. I think I got it all back together. It works here. Man, look at that. Look at that. How many of you think that's just a Christmas miracle here? We need to lead by example. We need to live faithfully. We need to live faithfully. It's a modern shame you can't count on a man to do anything he says he's going to do. That's a stereotypical joke. Won't come to work on time. Won't do what they're supposed to. At 46, I'm so tired of asking people to do stuff over and over and over again. Anybody besides me? You can't give money away. Can you come over and do this? Yeah. You know, a few years ago, I finally said, look, I've got $100 I will give to somebody. If they can just do this for me. You can't give money away. Some of you mess with contractors, subcontractors, looking at Cindy back there. You can't give money away to people. They're just so sorry. That should never be said of a Christian man. They need to live faithfully. They need to lead by example. They need to live faithfully. They need to live faithfully. We need men. Number two. We need godly men. Number two, we need men to be men. And I want to end up here. I want to remind you that men need other men. Men need other men. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I need you, you need me, we need each other. That is the church's response to each other. I need Brittany, Brittany needs me. I need Gladys, Gladys needs me. Gladys needs Roy, excuse me, Roy needs Lucas. Lucas needs Riley. Sam needs Evan. Excuse me. Evan needs John. John Weiniger needs John. Tullis needs John. Wells needs John. John. Men need other men. You ladies, that's not news to you. You know you need other women. Nod your head, ladies, if you're in here. Read it again. I'm going to go take them on with my guys. You're taking your guys. And if you need help, I'm there for you. By the way, he looked like he needed help, didn't he? Because what? Verse 14, the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled. They also fled before Abishai and entered in the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon. He wasn't there with Ammon. He was there with the Syrians. He took care of them, then went and helped his friend. See, men need men. We've had our men's group. We're going to keep doing other things like that because we need. Young men, they see guys and all they are, they're in love with the TV, and they see these guys, they're in love with all this stuff. It's an amazing thing. We love a 60-inch flat screen. we love all our hobbies and all these kind of things like that. And the reality is we don't need more of that stuff. We need men. We need men. Some of you are going, yeah. We understand that. I don't think most men do. They feel like they're all alone. They feel like we need each other. What do we need? We need encouragement. We need encouragement. I think one of the best things we do is every Wednesday night here, folks get around an altar, they sit in these front sections here, these front chairs, and we pray. Brother Toil's been leading the Sunday night group. I think one of the best things they do is right at the start, they pray. I need to be encouraged. One of the things that ought to be true of a smaller church is that we communicate a little better with each other. Nod your head if you believe that. You don't expect a church of 2,000 for folks to really care that much about you, maybe a few of those folks. But one of the things ought to be true here, man, is that we care about each other. I'm not talking about being feminine in our encouragement. I'm talking about, man, I'm pulling for you, and I'm glad for you, and I love you, and I need you, and I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your situation. I'm praying for your need. I'm praying for you. We need encouragement. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. There's nothing feminine or soft about that. We make each other better. We can. Encouragement. Example. My brother Tullis has said, I don't know, probably half a dozen times to me, thing he misses the most about a Ron Franks. I almost called him John Franks because I got John on the brain here. Ron Franks. Some of you that are new, Franks were here several years and very, very active and people at their homes and those kind of things and just lovely folks. And he said, I miss Ron's example. See, men need other men. We need to be good examples. Every dad in this room has watched one of their kids do something they do. It's not that you are an example. You need to be a good example. Be a good example. We need to be an example. We can be an encouragement to each other. And then lastly, we can educate each other. I've chuckled and chuckled about the sign outside. Has anybody seen the sign yet? A few of you now. Okay, several of you. Anybody still hadn't seen the sign? You just don't believe it's there? It's like, okay. We were out there, got the stuff, liquid nails on the back, glick, 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 don't get it on your hands, shoving it up there. Got the 2x4s or 2x8s and putting it on top and got the drills and the screws. I thought I'd help and, anyway, I just ended up just kind of there just admiring everything and got this. We're going to put it center post here. We got this, boom, boom, boom. What would have taken me 2 days, 4 websites, and about nine trips to Lowe's was done. Up. The winds have come and blown. It is still there. Not that any of you have seen it. And it's still there. I learned several things. One, I learned TJ really likes to glue stuff. Oh, no. I learned, boom, 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 this is how it goes, and next time I have a little more. We were ready to pull the trigger and thought I had all the resources ready to tell everybody, you know, this is the direction we're going with the new soundboard and guy who puts in all these things and has put them in large conferences and has put in these $100,000 video walls. And he said, you can do what you're going to do. He said, but you'll replace it in 2 years. I said, what do you mean? He said, they only last about 2 years. I said, nobody's told me that. He said, well, I'm not trying to sell you something. I said, I can't buy another soundboard in 2 years. He said, well, he said, you can buy this one or you can buy this one. He said, but I've had them and I've taken them out. He said, they put the cheaper components in this one, but in this one will last you a while. I said, what do I owe you? He said, nothing. He said, I just had to learn the hard way. He said, I wish somebody had told me that before I'd bought them. Thank you. I tried to hug him, but he wasn't a hugger. He just stuck his hand out. And so, sound guy wasn't a hugger. Go figure. You educate. How many of you think Tommy teach Al, Tommy teach Timmy, and if Jesus tarries long enough, Al and Timmy teach somebody else? How many of you think that's a good idea? How many of you think Lester pouring his life into Sam, Jesus, Terry, Sam pour his life into somebody else? How many of you think that's the plan? How many of you think that's going to happen, whether it's good or bad? We're going to teach children. How many of you think they're going to catch it from you uncles and from all those folks? We are to educate. We are to encourage each other. I'm convinced that my calls and my visits mean something, but I'm convinced when you, because they're your friend, because they're another man, and they see you trying to live before God, I believe that it matters. Our generation needs courageous men to step up. Our generation need men who will not be swayed by culture or afraid of criticism. People who are resolved to lead their families no matter what. We need men who will teach sexual purity to their boys and their daughters so that more kids won't enter the world without married parents. I mean, you think that's a problem today. That's a problem today. And again, not that those children are unloved or unvalued, but boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if we follow God's plan. We need men who will stick to their vows and cry out for God's help to love their wives rather than taking the path of least resistance. I was pastoring in Northeast North Carolina. Guy came to me. I was eating lunch out somewhere. He came to me, sat down, says, I hear so-and-so goes to your church. I've never laid eyes on this guy. Nod your head if you're following me right now. I said, yeah. He says, I can't believe you let him go to your church. Now he's got my attention, right? I got one of those toasted sandwiches, a panini. I'm eating a panini. I got half a panini in my mouth. I got cheese squirting everywhere. I try and wipe my mouth. I go, what do you mean? He said, he's cheating on his third wife. And I said, well, how do you know this? Because he's cheating with my ex-girlfriend. I say, well, man, I appreciate you telling me this. Well, I thought you ought to know. I figured you was just a sorry pastor if you let him go and you knew that. He walks off. God is my witness. Takes off, moves along. So I let it bother me. I go to the guy's house. He's living in his RV. He's got a real nice house. I pull up. I see him. I call his by name. I said, hey, man, why are you out here? You cleaning up the RV? Sort of. I said, you living here now? Well, yeah. Me and the missus are having trouble. I said, told the story about the guy stopping me while I was eating my panini. Well, that's true. I said, what do you mean it's true? You in church Sunday, holding her hand. Well, things just not working out, and I'm leaving her. What I didn't know was he just about proposed to this woman. And that's her fault and his fault, I think. Long story short, it was true love for about another year and a half, I think, and anyway. Let me help you with something. He didn't find four bad women. Look right here. The problem was in the mirror. And every time there was a bump or a pound or anytime something wasn't just the way he wanted to, he decided to change horses. That's sorry. We need men who will do what they say they're going to do. Can I get an amen for anybody? Amen? Amen. There are times and occasions, I'm not saying all divorce is a man's fault. I'm not saying that entirely here. But I'm saying there ought to be something that says, I have the courage to push through this. Nod your head if you believe that too, by the way. Amen. Amen. Number five, we need men who will sacrifice for their families rather than just being gone all the time. We need men who refuse to let entertainment eat up all their time and deaden their consciences. There's a time and a place for everything, but it isn't all the time and it isn't in every place. I'm dumbfounded by men in their 20s who act like complete imbeciles staring at a little rectangle. No social skills, no manners, no nothing to do. You still managing store? Still doing those kind of things? I don't know. I've never asked him, but I bet the number one thing he writes people up for is worshiping a rectangle when they're supposed to be working. They pull it out of their back pocket and they're yakking or typing or something like that, and he walks up on them and all. You don't hire people like that. And all, you need to send them down here. And they're sitting there on their phones. They can't stand it. Can't stand it. I thought about installing a cell phone jammer here just for fun. I'm kidding. We have free Wi-Fi, so it'd be kind of counterintuitive here. Not your job just to come in and say, well, I hope everything was taken care of here. Men who will speak out against things that are wrong and philosophies that are wrong. Men who will forgive their fathers and break the chains of the past and set new standards. Men who will pray for their preachers and for revival and make decisions that will strengthen the next generation. We need people who will do that. So if you want to have a fixer-upper family, I'm going to set the foundation real fast for you. We need some men who will get right with God and honor the book and who will be courageous here. We need some young men who will do this. It takes no courage to lay out of church. It takes no courage to never pick up a Bible. It takes no courage to not be what you ought to be. It takes nothing. It's spineless. We need some men who will hear the call and who will go forward for Jesus. And we need some ladies who will pray for these men, the young men, the unmarried men, the married men, and do this together. Because everything in our culture screams for men to be a bum and for a woman to be the spiritual leader, if at all. You know, adulthood is more of adolescence and goofing around, and we need men. We need men, and we need to be these men. We need godly men. We need godly men to be godly men, to be men. And remind you that men need men. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Will you love God? Will you love the truth? Will you live holy? Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed. Say, preacher, you're real pointed this morning. I want to start off pointed. I think we're in bad trouble. I think we're in a place where normal's bad and good's really abnormal. Say, are you mad? Not at all. I was preaching to me. I've been preaching to me all week about this for several weeks.